The title of the sermon, America, One Nation Against God, Divisible, with Liberty and Justice for Those Not Canceled. We read Genesis 6 and 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Pretty serious words. The Bible says so it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the last days. We're in the last days. Amen. One of my favorite country singers came out with a new song just the last few days called Happy Birthday America. Let me share the words with you. It speaks to the condition of this nation. I do change one word in the song. He uses a word I prefer not to use, but you'll understand. Happy Birthday America, it's the 4th of July. I get to wake up in your freedom, but sometimes I wonder why. Seems like everybody's dissing on the red, white, and blue. Happy Birthday America, whatever's left of you. Without the helping hand of God, your days are numbered, my old friend. We're sure going to miss you, girl. You were the best that's ever been. Happy Birthday America, all the broken down cities by the left's design. And the right can't seem to get it right most of the time. Every time I go to town and vote, I just come home with the blues. The lesser of two evils, all we ever get to choose. Happy birthday, America. It's the 4th of July. I get to wake up in your freedom, but sometimes I wonder why. Seems like everybody's dissing on the red, white, and blue. Happy birthday, America, whatever's left of you. Wow, the words and the verses of that song speak so honestly of the feelings and the hearts of so many Americans. The road ahead in America will be the greatest challenge ever. In the history of our great nation, for Christians, for people of faith, the godless left are now in charge of this country. The White House, the U.S. House of Representatives, and the U.S. Senate. These secularists are urging all leaders to stick it to people of faith, to take away every aspect of our religious freedom. It's as if they have in their sights churches and ministries and individuals who refuse to see our government as God, because they see government as God the way they live out their lives. Or perhaps I should say, they have those in their sights who refuse to worship at the altar of climate change. They have in their sights those who always stand for the flag and only kneel and bow to the cross and to Jesus. What an incredible change has taken place in this country. What an incredible change has taken place in the White House. In May of 2017, President Trump used his executive pen to ensure Christians and other people of faith don't have to check their beliefs when entering the halls of government. He also prevented the federal government from going after pastors and other leaders of ministries so that they have the freedom to speak out on political issues from a moral perspective, like abortion and same-sex marriage, adultery and transgenderism. For four years, with this kind of environment, it was just too much for the secularists and the progressives. It was just too much for them to tolerate. And it seems as if the left, they now want people of faith to be targeted, to be bullied, and to be silenced. There's a brand new organization on the scene. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's a group that goes against traditional conservative Christian beliefs and values. The group calls themselves Secular Democrats of America. That's an appropriate name because they are completely secular. They're godless. They're really anti-God. They see Christians. They see Christians as a Christian nationalist movement whose sole objective is white supremacy. They're caught up in that critical race theory of ideology. They see you and me as Christians and as people, as white Christians particularly, we're only advancing white supremacy is what they say. They insist that rather than faith, Americans should employ reason and intellect and science and evidence, and that the government should disentangle itself from people like you and me. The government should disentangle itself from folks of faith. The government should be free from influence of folks that are religious. Because in their words, this is what they say, that we have become dangerously entrenched at all levels of government. We, Christians. They believe Christians are dangerously entrenched at all levels of government. They see danger in that. This group has urged the Biden administration to strip First Amendment rights from Christians who advocate for traditional biblical positions such as the sanctity of life, marriage, education, and even the family. You remember the First Amendment. Let me remind you just briefly the words of the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's our cherished First Amendment. Well, this group, these secular Democrats of America, they want to purge Christian conservatives from all levels of government. As Christians, they deem us as enemies of the state. Isn't that amazing? Not communist China, not radical Muslims that want to destroy us, not the ones that chant hate America in Iran, but Christians are the enemies of the state. This group even has a document. It's a document referencing Christians saying that we should be ostracized from society. There's even a few extremists in this group who are pushing for Christians to be sent to re-education camps. We even have to resist the attacks from so-called Christian leaders. Let me give you an example. Many of you have heard of Dr. John Piper, who's pastored a massive church in Minneapolis, a very powerful church. He's been on radio and television. But Dr. John Piper came up publicly and said that he was so offended by the personality of Donald J. Trump. But I guess he's okay with this new assault on people of faith. There's another very popular person that many of the ladies here are familiar with. Her name is Beth Moore. She's been a frequent public speaker for women's events and many books that bless women. Beth Moore, she called followers of Trump or Trumpism. She said that is dangerous to the saints of God. And I would only ask, really? And today's progressive movement is not dangerous? That today's secular ideals are not dangerous? I would just ask, are these folks deluded? Do they really recognize what's happening in our country today? Who can forget back in 2016 when presidential candidate Hillary Clinton stated these words, that people with deep-seated religious and cultural codes and structural biases have to be changed. You remember that comment? The person that wanted to be president of the United States, Hillary Clinton, was stating that you and I with deep-seated religious beliefs have to be changed. By the way, she was not even challenged for those words by any of the media or anyone on the left. Do you think a Chinese-supporting Biden administration won't welcome this challenge to change folks like you and me with our deep-seated religious beliefs? In America, as 2021 began this year, we had a new president take his oath of office. And many Americans became alarmed about a new wave of anti-America Americans. Yes, you heard that right. A new wave of anti-America Americans. Sherry and I saw an interview on the news this weekend. A reporter interviewing young people that are in college or had just graduated from college, asking them if they were proud of America, and every one of them says no, or why should I be, or not really at all. What does that say about the indoctrination that's happening in our universities and our schools today? It's all fueled by an anti-God agenda. The anti-God agenda has been all wrapped up very neatly under cancel culture. You've heard that expression, haven't you? Cancel culture. What does it mean? What does cancel culture really mean today? Well, cancel culture is simply a label for cancel America. And cancel America is really a fancy term for death to America. And death to America is linked to death to Israel, because America is Israel's best friend, at least we have been. And the counterculture movement hates the Jews and they hate Israel. So death to Israel, you think about it, death to Israel is really a substitute for death to God, because the Jews are God's chosen people. And it's a lot easier to strike Israel than to strike God. Death to God. That's a general term to death to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because Satan knows there is only one true God, the God we love and serve. And so it goes. This cancel culture movement, it's really about death to America and death to America's God. A fellow by the name of Philip Goodman, who heads up a ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Bible Prophecy as Written, he says these words: "This cancel culture demonic concept is spreading like putrid scum in a pond. From the highest halls of government to our very neighborhoods, fanned like embers in a whirlwind. It is wicked, and it is fast reaching the point of no return." I agree with his comments. This is why so many of us now wake up to an America we no longer recognize. We now see that our world is beginning to look like the description that we read in Genesis 6 and 5, that the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually, and the Lord was sorry he had made man. That's not describing the world, that's even describing our nation today. But now this cancel culture, it also has some kinfolk demons. Yeah, some kinfolk demons. Let me share with you some of the kinfolk demons associated with the cancel culture. First of all, there's the cancel gender. We're no longer men or women. Did you know that? No, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, she came out this year as the new Congress came into session saying that she would not consider any new bill that contained words like him or her or mother or father or brother or sister. She wanted neutral, gender neutral expressions in all the new bills that would come forward. Even that opening prayer for this year's new Congress ended with the words, "A man and a woman." That's how they ended the prayer. So not only is there canceled gender, but another one of the kinfolk demons to cancel culture is cancel marriage and family. A fellow by the name of Pete Buttigieg is the new Secretary of Transportation. I don't know why he's in that job. The only experience he's ever had is being the mayor of a city the size of Wichita Falls, Texas. But now he's in charge of a multi-billion-dollar organization, the Department of Transportation. He publicly flaunted his homosexuality by kissing lip to lip his husband and shamelessly flouting himself as a progressive pioneer of the movement. He's a progressive pioneer of sodomites that are filling the White House of the United States. Amen. Then there's this other kinfolk demon of cancel culture. It's cancel law and order. We've seen over the last year violent attacks on our police officers. Violent attacks on law and order. I heard a story just this week in New York. They changed the laws where they no longer require people to post bail because that was too much associated with white privilege and they didn't want that. So now you get arrested, you don't have to post bail. A guy robbed a bank. He had his hearing. The judge ordered him to release without any bail. He went out and robbed a second bank. He was arrested. He had his hearing. The judge ordered him released again, a second time without bail. Do you know he went out and robbed a third bank after that? I'm not sure what the outcome of that has been. But that's what happens when there is no respect and no enforcement of laws. Democrat-led cities are demanding defunding the police. Many have already done it. And as a result, they're skyrocketing crime rates in nearly every major city in America. And in the final kinfolk of this cancel culture, the demonic kinfolk, is cancel life. Last year, over 580,000 people died according to the COVID-19 infection in their bodies. But also last year, though the media will never report this, over 800 million defenseless unborn children in their mother's womb were murdered, aborted, without any defense whatsoever in this nation. Yes, cancel lies. We even now have a president who wants to change the laws to allow your tax dollars to pay for abortions in America and even pay for abortions of money given to foreign nations to pay for abortions in other lands. But despite all these things we're talking about today, there are still rare moments of rebuke and victory for Christians in our beliefs. For example, in the United Kingdom, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association wanted to have a revival and a wonderful outreach in the community that's known as the Blackpool Borough. Well, they put advertisements in all the city buses all over that city. But the LGBT community took great offense because they knew that Franklin Graham had spoken out against transgenderism, against homosexuality, and against same-sex marriage. He was preaching the Word of God, and they didn't like it. And so they went to the city council of Blackpool Borough and complained and said they were offended and they were hurt. This wasn't right. And their rights were being violated. And so the city council incorrectly ordered the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association to remove all the signs, and the buses could no longer have that advertising on them. Well, an attorney representing the Billy Graham Association filed suit against that city, claiming that their rights were violated. This is in Great Britain. Well, a judge just ruled on it decisively for the people of faith. He said Christians that hold traditional religious views about marriage and human sexuality are entitled to protection under the law. Praise God for that judge. Amen. That judge went on to say that the city council's actions were the antithesis of the manner in which a public authority should behave in a democratic society. He's right about that. By the way, that revival drew over 9,000 people in attendance, and over 400 people made first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. Praise God for victories, amen? Praise God for victories. Even the Supreme Court handed down a ruling in the last couple of weeks favorable to the church. It seems like a group of nuns in a Catholic ministry that were involved in adoption and foster parent services, they had been excluded from their services being offered because they refused to place foster children and adopted children in same-sex households. And the state refused to work with them, and they filed suit against the state, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of those Catholic nuns that they had every right under their religious freedom to deny placing children in homes that did not meet their faith and religious ideals. The Supreme Court supported the people of faith in that instance. We praise God for that. Yes. We know, as children of God, we know that all wisdom and power belong to our sovereign Lord, doesn't it? And it is He who reigns. It is He who removes kings and puts people in position of authority. The Bible says that very clearly in Daniel 2 and 21. So on this day, this 4th of July, considering all the darkness and evil growing all around us, it's not at all unusual for Americans, for Christian Americans particularly, to ask this question. Is God's patience toward America ending? Will His blessings be replaced by His righteous judgment? We know the Bible tells us that the Lord is slow to anger. But America has turned from God. America is now following godless paths and values that are the opposite of God's principles and God's commandments. America, in many ways, has become a moral cesspool with sexual perversion of all types, widely accepted and flaunted and embraced by a willing secular media. Did you know that America is first in many things in the world? But you know that we're number one in the whole world in the production and supply of pornography? Number one in the world, America is. We look back and we see examples of free speech being silenced and Christian values and Christian culture being canceled. We see instances in the country today of truth being suppressed and lawlessness replacing justice. We look, many Christians look and say, how can it be that a career politician supported by Chinese communists who has difficulty finishing a sentence and even reading from a teleprompter, how can that man have been miraculously elected the President of the United States with 80 million votes, more votes than any man ever received in the history of this nation? How can that be, we ask ourselves. This man, Joseph Biden, this pompous hypocrite, swore an oath with his hand on the Bible when he was sworn in as President of the United States. He swore an oath while defiantly opposing God, opposing His Word regarding right to life and the sanctity of marriage. So I asked the question, what are Christians to do? What can we do? We realize the goal of the left is to eliminate our Christian influence in this country. They want to eliminate our moral values. But more than ever, we must speak the truth. We must defend the truth. We must live our days out by the truth. We cannot be silent. We must not be apathetic. I'm reading a great book, a series of books by Carl Sandburg on Abraham Lincoln. It's a great read. I wrote this note down of one of the words that President Lincoln spoke in a great speech he made before he became president. Listen to these words. They apply to us today. Let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. Those are great words to remember today. Let us make a priority as people of faith. Let us make a priority to point folks to the Savior. Let our lives point to Jesus, who is our blessed hope, who offers the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is the peace and joy and forgiveness of knowing Christ as our Savior. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Galatians 6 and 9 declares, let us not lose heart and doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. The Lord's speaking to us today with those words, isn't He? Oh, He's saying to us, let's don't lose heart. Continue to reap. Don't grow weary. The writer of Hebrews, he wrote these emboldening words. You know these words. You've heard them before. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let's do that today. Daniel said that when the Antichrist spews wickedness, that it will be happening and it will be evident in the last days. In Daniel 11:32, he says, the people who know their God, listen to this, the people who know their God will display strength and take action. I love those words. The people who know their God will display strength and take action. We won't sit back. We won't be silent. But we'll be a voice for what is right. In 1 John 4:3, the Bible tells us that the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. Those were the words written in 1 John 4:3. And we see it. We see the early stages of the spirit of the Antichrist all around us, even, sadly, even in our own nation. So this Independence Day, my prayer is that all of us resolve to display strength and faith and to take action and preparing our hearts for whatever the Lord asked us to do, whatever the Lord has in store for us. May the Lord set our hearts on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be set on fire with our love of the Savior burning in our souls. In closing this morning, I'm reminded of the words of President Reagan when he made a great speech and he spoke of America. And he referenced our nation as a shining city on a hill. It's something that we all love to hear, something we all long for. But I must honestly say, I believe the reality is that it's likely not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, well, Pastor, that sounds so negative. Hasn't the Word of God reminded us that in the last days it gets worse, it doesn't get better? That it becomes more and more like it was in the days of Noah, as we read that scripture earlier? The Lord continually reminds us, if we're listening, He's reminding you and me today that this world is not our home. That we're just briefly passing through this place on this world. Why would anybody want to cling to this when heaven awaits us? Paul writes in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for the Savior today? Are you eagerly awaiting the call of Christ with the rapture of the church when He calls us home? I'll tell you this day, hear me, a new day is coming. A new world is coming because our Savior is coming and He is going to call us home. Hallelujah. Would you just praise Him with me right now? Thank you, Father, for the hope we have. Our hope is not in government. Our hope is not in this country. Our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, let us look anxiously, daily, for that moment, that time, when Jesus steps out on the clouds and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise, and those of us that are alive and remain will meet them in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever and ever. Thank you, Father. Impress our hearts with that hope today. We thank you now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.